The FAA moves on helicopter safety rules. Dreamliner wake turbulence warnings were premature. And DOT is ready for the skies to open to Japan. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 8, 2010. The FAA moved yesterday to address the recent detention given high-profile accidents involving helicopters, particularly in air ambulance service. If finalized, the changes will require stricter flight rules and procedures, improved communications and training, and additional onboard safety equipment, including TAWS. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood opined, quote, "The FAA's initiatives have helped the helicopter industry make progress on many safety issues, but it's time to take steps toward mandating these major safety improvements," unquote. Proposed requirements for air ambulance operators include lightweight aircraft recording systems, the application of Part 135 rules when medical personnel are on board, and requirements that pilots in command be instrument rated, and more. Many of the accidents which have prompted the recent detention happened at night, in bad weather, or both. Find more details among the rotating news stories on the front page at FAA.gov. The FAA has clarified its pronouncement on wake turbulence behind Boeing Dreamliners in 747-8s. It turns out the instruction to air traffic controllers to allow 10 miles behind the planes on landing and takeoff and 5 miles behind them en route apply only to aircraft currently being used for testing. The FAA's Laura Brown explains, quote, "We're gathering data on these test flights. There are likely to be modifications as we get more data along the way," unquote. The U.S. Department of Transportation has proposed granting antitrust immunity to two air carrier alliances for services between the U.S. and Japan, subject to the signing of an open skies agreement. The department would grant immunity to Oneworld Alliance members American Airlines and Japan Airlines, and separately to Star Alliance members United, Continental, and All Nippon Airways. If the decision is made final, the members of each alliance would be able to more closely coordinate international operations in trans-Pacific markets. In the show cause order, the department tentatively found that granting immunity would provide passengers and cargo with a variety of benefits, including lower fares on more routes, increased services, better schedules, and reduced travel and connection times. Each proposed alliance would enhance competition, particularly in trans-Pacific markets. 10 months ago, the U.S. and Japan initialed an agreement that would establish an open skies aviation relationship between the two countries once it's signed. The DOT's announcement opens a 21-day comment window. Up next on ANN, the F-35 is flying again, but not vertically. NASA prepares to study catastrophic climate change on Mars. And this mission is so long it needs two acronyms. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. Two of Lockheed Martin's F-35 test aircraft are flying again after a software glitch affecting fuel pumps was resolved. The planes were grounded October 1st over the glitch, which could have caused all three fuel boost pumps to fail, resulting in an engine stall. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the planes are flying only in conventional mode now because an issue with the auxiliary air intake door hinges on the short takeoff vertical landing variant has yet to be addressed. NASA's mission to investigate the mystery of how Mars lost much of its atmosphere passed a critical milestone this week. NASA has given approval for the development and 2013 launch of MAVEN. That's the Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution Mission. Features resembling dry riverbeds and the presence of minerals that only form in the presence of liquid water suggest that Mars once had a denser atmosphere. As part of a dramatic climate change, most of the Martian atmosphere was lost somehow. MAVEN will make definitive scientific measurements of present-day atmospheric loss that will offer insight into the Red Planet's history. MAVEN project manager David Mitchell says his team is well-positioned for the next push to critical design review in July of 2011 and launch in 3 years. NASA's Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, or WISE, has run out of the liquid hydrogen used to cool its ultra-sensitive detectors. But NASA has decided the mission will continue. WISE will now focus on asteroids and comets orbiting with us around the Sun, which can be done with two remaining detectors that can work at higher temperatures. The change in the mission focus will also bring a change in the acronym. WISE becomes NEOWISE, adding the abbreviation for Near-Earth Object, and will henceforth be known as the NEOWISE Post-Cryogenic Mission. Still ahead, Old Rhinebeck celebrates the centennial of Glenn Curtis's flight into Manhattan. The S-92 is logging hours at a record pace, and Prince William is out working SAR. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 8th. I'm Paul Platt. The Hudson River Valley Institute at Marist College and the Glenn H. Curtis Museum will come to Old Rhinebeck Aerodrome to pay tribute to Glenn Curtis tomorrow. Institute Executive Director, retired Colonel James M. Johnson, commented, quote, "This will be a celebration of the 100th anniversary of Curtis's historic flight in his Albany Flyer down the Hudson River Valley from Albany to Manhattan, and recognition of those who strive to preserve the memory of his innovative spirit," unquote. Among the highlights at the 2 p.m. air show will be the display of a replica of the 1911 Curtis D Pusher, similar to Glenn Curtis's Albany Flyer, a taxi demonstration of the Pusher's unique flight controls, flying exhibitions of an original Hisso Jenny built for World War I in 1918, and a Curtis Wright Jr. CW-1 built for recreational flying in 1931. Get details at oldrhinebeck.org. Sikorsky reports the S-92 medium-lift helicopter fleet has passed the quarter-million-hour milestone and done so more quickly than any previous Sikorsky commercial helicopter. The first production S-92 entered service in September of 2004. Transport companies flying work crews to offshore oil and gas platforms account for 90% of those hours. 8 offshore oil and gas transport companies flying 75 of the 117 S-92s currently in service, serve platforms in the Gulf of Mexico, the North Sea, and elsewhere. One of the heaviest users, Bristow Norway AS, flies 9 S-92s to North Sea platforms. One of its S-92s has logged 9,000 hours since February of 2005. And finally today, speaking of helicopters and platforms, Britain's Prince William made his first official rescue as a search and rescue co-pilot, helping evacuate a man suffering a heart attack from an offshore oil rig. The Mirror reports the heir to the British throne was part of a 4-man crew of the RAF Sea King. The crew winched the 52-year-old patient aboard and flew him to shore in a waiting ambulance. A spokesman for the Prince said he's, quote, "pleased to finally be able to contribute to the life-saving work of the search and rescue force," unquote. And let's face it, with economic forecasts predicting the monarchy will be out of money by sometime in 2012, it can't hurt to be building multi-engine turbine helicopter time. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, meet Rod Hightower. ANN's Jim Campbell talks with EAA's new president. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.